shooting, that left-wing three that brought the Lakers a championship one calendar year ago. That's baffling. You know, I mean, like, when you think about it from that perspective, because you've had since then the Bucks win a title, and now he's going on a third NBA season, one calendar. Like, that almost doesn't seem real.
Sure, fans love hearing this Anthony Davis Bucks memory. No, I know, but I'm with you.
But it's crazy. You had in one calendar year that much go on, and you kind of tend to forget, because they brought it up that a lot of times maybe fans and media members don't understand what playing through the COVID protocols was sort of like for them. And obviously when we went to Pelicans, the presser with Willie Green, you had to get tested to walk out there and everything, which I just saw on our media page here for the people coming out to practice tomorrow, testing at a certain time. So it does add something to it. You can try to make it regular and normal, but Maddie, it isn't. And being away for, as Amy said, she was away 30 days out of the last 31. It matters. I mean, you had players chanting, "We're going home." It matters.
Yeah. I mean, at the same time, if there's a team that, you know, this adversity they're able to kind of surmount and use as fuel moving forward, it would be the Saints. I said that last year, that with all the COVID noise, a team that knows how to go through adversity, has gone through, you know, heartbreaking ending seasons. Katrina 15, you know, years ago. Is that 15 years ago?
Yeah.
Is that 20 years ago?
It's close to 20. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't math, but I think the Saints are pretty primed to keep moving forward. And, you know, as much as there is to kind of clean up at this point, there's way more positive than negative. And that's, you know, in a month where they were at TCU and not playing at home and pretty much all over the place, scattered six ways to Sunday. So now that they're returning to normalcy and they've already played the way they have, I'm way more confident than I thought I would be. And I usually am at week three of the Saints season.
So let's go through it, because we haven't had a chance to really sit in studio. The whole Hurricane Ida thing. I did shows from over there, so I really haven't had a chance to see you. I was joking about it when you walked in. It's been a while.
It's been.
So let's kind of delve into it. We'll take the break. We come back. Things that kind of surprised you and haven't, perhaps, or something that you didn't expect or expect. You wrote a lengthy piece about where the Saints sort of are already. And guess what we're going to tackle as well this hour? Quarterback in that position. And yes, you can bring up Taysom Hill. So Maddie Hudak in studio, Gus Kattengill with you. Phone lines are open if you want to chime in and jump in the conversation. 800-998-1003. When you're home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
This Black and Gold Report is brought to you by Rogers Parts, your home for Napa Auto Parts. Locally owned, nationally known. Get your Napa know-how in Lockport, La Rose, Galliano, Morgan City, and Labadeville. 13 plays, 75 yards, 6:45 off the clock. Taysom Hill took it in 4 yards out to give New Orleans a 28-13 lead with 2:37 to play and seal it Sunday at New England. Head coach Sean Payton on the key drive.
It was to possess the ball. I mean, momentum had shifted. They had just come off a score. It was a one-score game at that point. So when you start a drive like that, you're thinking about making first downs. You're not in a just 4-minute run the ball mode. You know you're going to have to throw it as well as run it. That was a significant drive.
Swiss Army knife Taysom Hill.
That's a tough deal in the NFL, man. When you got these heavy defensive fronts and you can put together a drive like that, and you can go and score, man, that creates a lot of energy, a lot of momentum for us.
Running back Alvin Kamara proud of the drive as well.
Just like Jameis said, we got to finish. It's all encompassing. You know, Sean got to call the right calls. We got to execute them. You know, I think our mentality is just that, finish. We know what the assignment is. We know what we have to do. We know what we're capable of. So that's the mentality we have, and that's what we stick to.
This Sunday, the 2-1 Saints face the 0-3 Giants in the Dome. Kickoff at noon. For more on the Black and Gold, keep it here on ESPN New Orleans. This Black and Gold Report has been brought to you by Rogers Parts, your home for Napa Auto Parts. Locally owned, nationally known. Get your Napa know-how in Lockport, La Rose, Galliano, Morgan City, and Labadeville.
Napa know-how. Rogers Parts, your local distributor of high-quality Napa Auto Parts, marine, and industrial supplies, has what you need to keep your vehicle rolling safely down the road. Whether it's repair or maintenance, Napa has the parts to help you make your vacation destination. Getting ready for that big fishing trip, they have quality marine parts to help keep your boat going. So stop by one of Rogers Parts' 5 locations, Lockport, La Rose, Galliano, Morgan City, and Labadeville, and talk with one of their ASE parts specialists. Rogers Parts, they've got the Napa know-how.
the phone.
We want you to be on the show.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengat.
There it is. I was waiting for the breakdown there, Maddie. How are you?
Still doing swell watching, you know, the upteenth lightning strike outside because we haven't had enough.
Okay, I have noticed that. I didn't think it was like paparazzi or something. Obviously, hey, it's on the second floor, so I don't know flash has sort of come and no one wants my photo. But I keep seeing like your face just shine, and it's not the sun. It's just kind of reflecting off it on and off. So
yeah, it's not heat lightning either.
Okay, I was making sure about that. So let's kind of get into some of the things and then what you wrote about in your piece, because it's very interesting when you sort of look at it. First and foremost, what I find interesting was Jameis Winston was asked after the game about the type of football they're playing right now. And he said, look, this is Saints football. And he was asked, what is Saints football?
Saints football has always been efficiency and physicality up front. I mean, that's them the only Saints that I knew. That's all I know about the Saints. They went up front, and they play tough. And that's what we did here. I think the best thing is it's so challenging to win in this league. So any way that you do it to the best of your abilities. Obviously, I know I got to get better at the quarterback position, and I'm going to continue to do that. But I'm happy that we got this win.
So that's his definition of what Saints football is. Maddie threw three games. They're 2-1. How would you describe the New Orleans Saints?
As a completely different team than one that has kind of been the identity of it the past 15 years. And in a good way, it's almost less important, Jameis's final note about him kind of needing to get better at the quarterback position, whatever that means. But you almost didn't need a quarterback in that game. We joke back and forth quite a bit about the Taysom Hill Denver Broncos game, but that's really kind of what it seemed like the game plan was, especially against Bill Belichick. The battle is special teams, clock control, and turnovers. So when you have a quarterback that is prone to those types of things, and I'm not saying Taysom wasn't prone to fumbling last year, that's why he was kind of put into that game manager role. Mm-hmm. Jameis had a little more rope, and he did make those crucial third down, you know, throws and rush in the fourth quarter game winning drive, essentially, that they had. But there's only so much that he had in terms of rope to that game for me.
There's no doubt. We all remember, it's almost imprinted right now. It's one of the images of the season. After the Callaway touchdown, Sean Payton, lips pursed. And you know, and look, and you saw him as controlled as he could be on the sideline. Jameis came to the sideline, gave his explanation, which we now know is God. And Sean goes, I know, but. And you saw him kind of, and so it's what we touched on, though, during training camp, Maddie. Whoever he went with, you're just going to have to live with it for a bit because there's a learning experience to it. I thought it was interesting what Drew Brees played or said Sunday night. Did you hear what he said?
I didn't.
Okay, I'll play it for you. And here's his thoughts on the Saints offense right now.
They're playing outstanding. Offensively, I don't think they have an identity right now. We know who Alvin Kamara is, and we know that the Saints want to establish the run game with Alvin Kamara. But who are they throwing the ball to? You know, what does the passing game look like? And there's a lot of new faces. There's a lot of young players. Michael Thomas is out. Yeah. Tre'Quan Smith is out. Jared Cook no longer there. Emmanuel Sanders no longer there. So you've got all these young players who don't have a whole lot of experience playing with a new quarterback who doesn't have a lot of experience with them or in the system. So it's just taking a little bit of time. Now they're finding ways to win, but today wasn't pretty, just like last week wasn't pretty.
Again, now that's the guy that so efficiently ran this offense and did things with people like, again, let's be honest.
Well, I was just going to say, if Drew Brees is saying that there's no one out there to throw the ball to, there's really no one out there to throw the ball to.
And that's why I want to bring that up, because he's seeing it probably different, right? He can put on a game film, he can pull up the laptop, see it, and he's seeing it just like, which, by the way, I love the Manning cast. Do you?
It should be spectacular.
I agree. And you can see them seeing it immediately. The coverage, go this, call that. So you know he is with his offense. But it's one of the reasons, Maddie, why I said that this is a potential playoff team. They're going to be learning curves for that. And I think part of that is understanding your quarterback and what he can or cannot do. I guess I'm looking at it and I almost feel like Jameis is trying so hard to not make mistakes. that he's just not out there playing, which was nuts because at Green Bay, that Green Bay game, he was so decisive. If it wasn't there, he took off and ran. Three first downs, Matty, in the first quarter with his feet. And he was just decisive in that Jags game where he won the game. You were in the dome. I'm in the dome. He just looked decisive. The ball out of his hands. Even when he was getting blitzed, they picked it up. He threw it. I don't know what happened in 2 weeks.
I mean, it's pretty similar, in my opinion, to the four-game stretch of Taysom Hill last year where everyone was like, what is going on? Why is he in his head? Why isn't he doing what he leans on best? And I think Winston is now kind of falling into that same, I don't know, not trap, but they're both have their, you know, issues with turnovers, and they are under a coach who one possession decides a football team is the philosophy. So it goes back to that mental aspect of the game that people, you know, often like to discount, but you can very much see that Winston kind of is playing with one hand tied behind his back where he is almost like that, you know, if I make one more mistake, that's it. And I think you made a good point that no matter which quarterback they went with, there was going to be a learning curve, especially because up until the second preseason game, a starter hadn't been decided. So neither of them was getting a full offseason dedicated to an offense suited around them, reps with players, a system that was going to move forward into the season. So, I am willing to kind of hold the dogs off, at least until after the bye.
I think you have to. That's what I'm saying. Get to the bye however you want it, which is why I said I'm inviting them, throwing an open party. We'll go do something. If they go 4-1 into the bye. I mean, seriously, I might be the best coaching job Sean Payton has had to do. I'm being honest.
I said last week that this is a coach of the year type season for him if he pulls that off, and if he goes 4-1 into the bye without Michael Thomas, without Traquan Smith, without David Onyemata, without Marcus Davenport.
Throw in COVID.
Sure.
Throw in the hurricane.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously. No, and look, in the next two games, I get it. You have to go out on the field and win it. I do. You're a point favorite against the Giants. Washington State is a team on the field you're going to match up with, if not, are better. I'm just saying, off the bus. Now you got to go do it.
Washington's front seven is going to eat Winston alive.
And that's what I'm getting at. Their offense is an issue, but their defense is very good. And Chase Young versus anyone on this offensive line doesn't make me sleep well at night. But the chance is there. 800-998-1003. Walter, thanks for giving us a call, sir. How are you?
Yeah, I got a question, Ash. Okay, I checked on Hill's contract, Jason Hill's contract. Oh, he had the 4-year contract. It's voidable every year. Okay.
Yeah.
Does that mean the Saints could void the contract? Can he also void the contract too?
I don't think players have the ability to void their own contract.
Yeah.
What it says every year is voidable. So
The team can void it. Yeah.
The team can do it, but he can't become a free agent every year now.
Yeah, no, there's no player option or something of that nature, like in the NBA or MLB or something of that nature. It's sort of team controlled, if that makes any sense.
Walter, I'm wondering if your question then is, you know, if Taysom perhaps wanted to, you know, try to see if he could test out free agency, like as a quarterback next year, and that's kind of why you're asking if this is voidable. I think in that case, Sean Payton might sit him down and say, you know, if there is any chance that you're going to play quarterback, it's certainly not with any other head coach, and you know, you still have an opportunity to be an incredible football player here. But I think at the end of the day, they would do Taysom Hill right if that's what he really wanted to do. I just don't, you know, really see that happening. But
well,
I also he signed a
4-year, $140 million contract. Right now they paid him $12 million a year. Mm-hmm. So what that's saying is he can't leave New Orleans for the next 4 years, counting this year and the next 3 years. But the Saints can release him anytime they want, okay?
Right. Look,
well,
what
I'm getting at is Hill wants to be a starting quarterback. If he goes through the whole year and he's not, and they don't give him a chance to be the starting quarterback, and he could leave, he'll leave, and if he's available to leave, he'll leave and go someplace else and be a free agent. Okay,
that's why
he's not going to stick around and be a second string quarterback for the Saints.
Well, that was what I was trying to say before, is that he could certainly ask for that. And again, I think Sean Payton's response would be good luck with that. And
yeah, and quite honestly, look, he was given a fair, honest to goodness opportunity in an offense that he sort of knew. Now I understand, again, the same players that Jameis and everybody else is trying to to work with. I mean, would have been different if Thomas and others and Sanders would be there, possibly. But I think Walter, the thing is this, he's not going to come back, and I don't think he would come back next year to be, compete and be the second string, because he's not the second string quarterback this year. So I think if he were to stay long term, it's this is what works for you. You can still get paid. You can still be productive, and you have a niche and you have a place in the NFL. And then it would be up to him, to your point, if right. he wants to go try to be a QB, or as Maddie's saying, good luck with that. And how many other teams would be ready to sort of use that from another aspect of it? I'll say this. You watch the fourth quarter. You watch that last drive. There's a head coach in the NFL that trusts him. And that's Sean. And that's not lost on that player. When the game was on the line.
Again, Bill Belichick at that.
Taysom Hill was called upon, and he trusted Taysom Hill. So that's something to consider.
Okay, well, just one other thing I want to ask. I think between now and the end of the year, he's going to get a chance to be to play first-string quarterback. And somewhere along the line, this quarterback's going to lose two or three games, and he's going to take him out the lineup and give the other guy a chance to start, I think.
I disagree with that only because I'm saying it's taken, you know, it's going to take time for this system to mesh together, and it would have to take, you know, an extremely bad three-game stretch, for lack of a better term, for them to kind of basically start again at square one with a completely different style of quarterback. If anything else, I would see one of the other quarterbacks kind of going in if they were to make a mid-season switch. It's not out of the question, but...
Yeah. And we've asked that, right? I mean, we did, Walter. Like, what would it take, whether it was Hill or whether it was Winston that won it? Is it a two-game losing streak? Is it a three-game losing streak? Is it what's happening in those games, per se, like you, Walter? If he's throwing three picks a game and the team's winning or had a chance to win and it cost him. You know, look, Carolina was such a disaster that it was just a disaster of a game. The defense couldn't stop them in the first half. Second half, there was a chance. It was 17-7. So... I think if there's, Walter, a 2-3 game stretch where the defense is playing magnificent, where the team has the lead and loses it because of turnovers, then maybe you can start maybe seeing it in that direction. I just think right now, like Drew says, it's just taking longer than what you would expect to get everybody on the same page.
Yeah, with receivers Your opinion,
he might not get a chance to be first-string quarterback this year, probably, if they win in games. If they lose in four or five games in a row, I think he'll start.
I think everything's on the table at that
point.
Yeah,
and quite frankly, I think if they're losing four or five games in a row, they might throw Ian Book out there and see what they have in him.
Because at that point, again, you're trying to figure out, this season's not about winning a championship. I never thought about that really this year. It's just, and I said this, figure out your foundational pieces moving forward. And that is a key piece. So, Walter, to your point, if you're feeling and you've seen enough games where you're just not, man, is that switch hasn't flipped yet for Jameis, I'm with you. Why not see what Hill can do? And if you're like, well, I don't know, well, then throw out Ian Book at that point.
I didn't say it, Gus did.
I didn't say anything. The end of the segment has arrived, thus. Thank you, Walter.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate it so much. Cajun Goat, I see you on hold. Maddie with the grin from ear to ear. We'll be back. We'll talk a little about that. Maybe, Maddie, what is this team's identity right now? Drew said they can't find their identity on offense just yet. But does that mean that the team doesn't have an identity? I think you know what a lot of people probably would feel as well. We'll touch on that next on ESPN New Orleans.
Toyota is currently open and here to serve our community with a fresh new inventory arriving daily
and over 150 quality pre-owned vehicles.
If you have any questions regarding vehicle replacement or you're looking to purchase a new vehicle, we are here to help. Stop by 220 South Hollywood Road or give us a call at 985-876-7210 or visit GregLeBlancToyota.com.
GregLeBlancToyota.com.
We are Homa Strong.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Time is money. Don't waste both running around looking for filters, batteries, and belts and related items. Fleet Supply Warehouse delivers. Fleet Supply offers daily scheduled delivery, including Bayou Lafourche, New Orleans, Morgan City, New Iberia, Lafayette, Thibodaux, Baton Rouge, the North Shore, plus the River Parishes too. Automotive, lawn equipment, agricultural, marine, or industrial. Fleet Supply Warehouse, 985-868-0430. Venture Boulevard, Houma.
Archie Manning here for Thibodaux Regional. In the Manning household, we're pretty serious about sports. And just like the team at the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodaux Regional, we're also very serious about sports safety. As the region's leader in First Comprehensive Sports Medicine Program, they've been in the game longer with certified athletic trainers, fellowship-trained sports medicine physicians, and neuro-sports-trained experts. So play hard, play to win, but play it safe with the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodaux Regional.
They say that once you give him control, he'll own your brain forever.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Cajun Goat joins us. Gus Kattengau, Matty Hudak. It's the Sports Hangover. We'll get a quick report from Ollie Costell from the Bird Rights. On the Pels had their first practice here. Enola, who stood out? What did he? Again, it was like Matty, like we were talking about what Amy just said. Joe Burrow and the LSU Tigers winning the national championship was the last time you had a sold-out Superdome. The last time reporters got to see a practice in the facility has been a while. So, Cajun Goat, what you got for us today, sir?
I got two quick ones. I'm going to start with a Pelican one real quick.
Sure.
I heard Zion broke his foot moving Griffin's piano.
Oh, boy.
So that's, you know that's what I heard. I dropped it on his foot.
Let me tell you something. I failed so badly yesterday. I wanted to so badly. And then I didn't think I'd have him for 30 minutes. We just kept chatting. I will, though. I wanted to address the piano thing this way. I was going to go back and forth with best piano songs, right? I mean, that Maddie, I was texting you last night, all these different piano songs, like best piano intro, Journey, Faithfully, Guns N' Roses, November Rain, you know, best piano overall. I mean, like, to me, like, Bohemian Rhapsody. It's four. Doon, 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 doon. I mean, like, that's the best piano ever. You know, like, I had so much to get to, and I completely just, I didn't get to it. I will, though, I promise. He said he's going to come back on, and I'm bringing it up.
And I want to say, I want to thank Maddie, man. Maddie did a wonderful job on breaking down Ryan Ramczyk's non-effort. And I like her to elaborate a little bit more on that on the show today, because she put some stuff on Twitter that was really good, that you really don't notice because of the speed of the game, and they really don't show you on the other things. But that film she broke down on, it was really good. And I think, actually, I'm kind of happy where the Saints are at right now. I know the offense needs to get a little better. But, I mean, it's what Drew Brees says. You know, they have to find their identity. And I think by midseason, I think this team can find their identity. You know, they'll have a bunch of guys back and everything. But I want her to kind of break down what she thinks is going on with Ryan Ramczyk. So I'm going to hang up and listen to you guys.
Thank you, Cajun Goat.
Yeah, well, thank you. That was, it was somewhat of a controversial, clip. You know, I'm not a film study expert. So, you know, I'm sure, and it wasn't just those four plays. It was just happened to be where I was in the rewatch, but, it just seemed like the effort didn't go through the tackle entirely. It's kind of like, you know, making a tackle and then just kind of whiffing at the player's ankles instead of actually, you know, wrapping them up. Like, a lot of people said that, you know, Winston was probably holding on to the ball too long. But, you know, there's one of those plays you could see that he looks, kind of sees that Winston still has the football and then just kind of lets his guy go. Whereas I've seen, like, Latavius Murray pancake Khalil Mack before. So it just kind of seemed like he wasn't playing through every single snap. He didn't really have that much leverage. I know he was graded well on PFF, but when he's the only starter out there besides Andres Pete in their own position, I'm expecting, you know, him to really, like, not let anyone through and lock that side up when Taron Armstead is out. Calvin Throckmorton is playing right guard. Cesar Ruiz is at center now. And then again, the second most consistent person on the team is Andres Pete, who I'm not entirely happy.
Who's nicknamed the Matador from a season ago? I mean, that's the point, though. And in that Carolina game, spent more time blocking the air than somebody.
Yeah, the Carolina game was, it wasn't.
But Maddie, that's a great point as we bring Jared into the conversation here. That contributes to your offense not producing the way we're used to seeing. You cannot look at an offensive line and have that many pieces moved around or not playing well, to your point, and say, well, that quarterback should be lighting it up. Dude, Breeze would have trouble with that.
That's what I was, you know, Breeze got rid of the ball quickly, but sometimes he needed some time to let the play develop. And I've seen him sit back there, you know, with, and in the first game, there was a play where Jameis Winston could have sat down, stood back up, you know, looked this way, looked that way, and would have still had time in the pocket. So the argument that, you know, Winston's holding on to the ball too long, I mean, we all know why that's the case, but that shouldn't be a surprise to anyone in the game that the receivers that we all have said, you know, need a little bit more of a higher caliber with them aren't open in time. And so, you know, here I am defending Jameis Winston for pretty much the entire system crumbling around him. And I will still say that Eric McCoy is quite plainly the most valuable player on the team to me now.
It was a big loss. Jared, thanks for giving us a call. Shane, you're on the On Deck Circle. What you got, Jared?
Yeah, I want to say that in the Carolina game, and it's been in a number of games, Andres Pete just is terrible. And there's one thing about Sean Payton saying we weren't prepared, and there's another thing that's called effort. And Andres Pete just doesn't give the effort. He doesn't try some games. And it's really hard to put blame on the entire offensive line when you got one person just acts like he doesn't care. And also people who say that Jameis shouldn't be the starter, if they really take into account watching Taysom Hill as a quarterback and not as a player you enjoy watching, Taysom Hill takes a long time to read the defense. He doesn't anticipate. Another thing he doesn't do, he doesn't have a quick release. Everything Taysom throws, he has to wind up. And it's hard for me to digest that people want Taysom Hill when they're not looking at him as a pure quarterback and they're looking at him as their favorite player.
Sure. I mean, yeah, sure. I may have missed the, you know, clamoring for people, you know, asking to put Taysom in. And I'm sure if there are any people that are saying that, it's, you know, because of that final Patriots drive. I mean, we're kind of breaking that down right now, and we're, you know, in somewhat of agreeance on that. You know, this offensive performance, it's not on Winston, the bad decisions he's made. Yeah. But I can criticize any player on the team for bad decisions that they've made. It's just that one is the one that's in flux and under evaluation right now. But I try to always keep in mind that, again, you know, a quarterback is only as good as his supporting cast members. And there's been games where, you know, Drew, he can do a lot and he can win football games on his own. But if he's pancaked on the ground, you know, 0.2 seconds after taking the snap, then no one's going anywhere. And so I think Winston is falling, you know, victim to a lot of the pitfalls that Drew Brees suffered, you know, several seasons over his time with the Saints.
And something we touched on as we bring in Shane, 27 carries or touches for Alvin Kamara, 24 carries. And look, when you know right now, I would fire my defensive coordinator if I'm not trying to stop 41. They got to prove to me, Winston and them, I need like 5 touchdowns in a quarter before I start playing coverage. And I'm just going to go after him. Putting in Taysom Hill, as you mentioned in the beginning of training camp, it forces the defense to go, well, who's getting it? Is it 7 or is it 41? Because both can run you over.
Right. Everyone's, you know, well, no one's getting fooled every time Taysom has the ball. He tucks it and runs. Yeah, but sometimes he hands it off to Alvin Kamara. And either way, when they're both out there, and even if the defense is in agreement with us, which they likely are, that still means that there's essentially 2 running backs out there.
And since he started 4 games and he was competing for the starter, you have to respect that he may throw it as well.
They're going to run that run RPO all season, and then the last game of the playoffs, Taysom is going to throw it.
Oh, you said playoffs. Shane, what you got for us?
Hey, how y'all doing? I hadn't talked to you guys in a while.
Good to be back, man. Good to see you.
I don't think that Jameis is making as many mistakes as you. I mean, if you look at it, you're criticizing him about mistakes. I think that's more of his reputation.
Mm-hmm.
Brees made a lot of mistakes those last couple of years, but because he's Drew Brees and kind of like a godly figure, I think people overlook those mistakes. Now, I think it's going to come to the point one game in the season or maybe a couple of games in the season where you're going to need Jameis to take chances and throw the ball more than he is now, but we're at the point these first three games that we haven't needed that. The Carolina game, I know a coach probably doesn't give up on the game, but about midway through the third quarter, I was kind of like, today is just not our day, and it's nothing that we can do to win this game, and I'm sure the coaches don't think like that. But I kind of knew that it just wasn't our day, not necessarily because of Jameis or any particular thing. It just kind of wasn't our day.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't argue anything other than that. I feel like when, you know, people criticize Jameis Winston's decisions that are bad, it kind of is like, you know, that we're condemning him as a quarterback as a whole. And it's not so much that Drew Brees, you know, was a godlike figure, which you could certainly make the argument for, I guess, you know, to the city of New Orleans. It was because he was the most accurate and efficient passer thus far in NFL history and earned that benefit of the doubt because we knew that 9 times out of 10 he could make that throw, and he wasn't trying it the 10th time just to kind of YOLO it and say it was, you know, Drew's not saying it's God's plan to try to chuck it up anywhere. And so when you hear him saying things like that, and, you know, he has that past history, yes, there is going to be more of a microscope on it. But again, we're trying to bring in that context that, you know, absent those singular throws, the whole offense is a problem. It's not, Jameis Winston isn't the problem. And that's, you know, those two things can exist at the same time to me.
I think he's going to save us a couple of games coming up in the near future. It's going to be a time where Jameis is going to win a game or two or three for us, and I hope people give him the credit when he does do that.
100%. Yep. And if he doesn't make that third down, you know, throw to Deontay Harris, he doesn't rush for that 2-yard stop in that final quarter, then Taysom Hill doesn't even get to save the game. So it wouldn't have gotten there without Winston, and we are just trudging on, and we're still literally 3 weeks into the season with a new quarterback for the first time in 15 years.
And the commentary in that game was being criticized as well. Go ahead, buddy.
I don't think Andres Pete does not give effort. I just think he's horrible, and that could be go on as the worst re-signing in the history of the Sean Payton era. When I saw him got that contract last year, whenever it was,
yeah, I was with you. Like, what are you? I was like, wow! All right, there it is. Hey, it's the Matador. It's the Matador. Horrible. Thank you, Shane. Appreciate the phone call, sir.
All right, buddy.
As we go to break, Maddie, I wrote it down. That was brilliant. Jameis Winston plays like YOLO. He only lived once.
Imagine Drew coming off. It was God's plan.
That's how we tweet from now on, okay? When there's a play where you go, oh boy, just YOLO. Winston going full YOLO. No doubt about it. We'll take a quick break. We come back. Ali Cosell will give us a report on the Pelicans' first practice. You know what we don't want to see this year? The Pelicans playing YOLO style. I need a rhyme and reason. It's the Sports Hangover at ESPN New Orleans. That was.
It's the Ram Power Days going on right now at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, and Homa. Not only can you get a great deal on a Ram, but you can see their impressive lineup of new commercial trucks and vans. Southland Dodge has the perfect vehicle for your business with Ram's long-lasting new pickups or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right one should be easy. Get more for your business with a new Ram truck or van at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Homa. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Rouse's Market.
Markets team is right here in our community and in communities all over South Louisiana, working around the clock to help their neighbors in need. They're bringing in fresh groceries and supplies every single day. And good, good, good news, the Rouse's Market in Golden Meadow, that store we all know and love, will be back open next Wednesday. Store manager Reggie Lejeune and all of your friends who work at Rouse's will be there. It's going to be a homecoming for sure. Rouse's Markets.
He's back.
He's like the thing that wouldn't shut up.
He's got his own catchphrase.
He's the best invention since they started frosting Pop-Tarts.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Ollie Costell. Sir, you looked fantastic yesterday in the, 2 minutes I got to see you as you were running in and out of the media room over there at the Smoothie King Center. Good to see you, though, in person at the Smoothie King Center. It's just been a while that a lot of people will get to see. We'll see one preseason game, and then the regular season tips off Wednesday, October 20th. You can follow Ollie, by the way, on Twitter, at Ollie Costell, editor-in-chief of The Bird Rights. Ollie, good afternoon. How are you?
Doing great, Gus, and you echoed everybody's sentiments there yesterday. It was so good to be inside the building and interacting with one another. Even though we had face masks, it felt almost normal.
Almost normal. Ollie, what was it like to sit in the facility today and actually, you know, see practice?
Oh, it was fantastic. You got to hear the basketball hitting the ground. You started remembering the job used to be kind of like.
Mm-hmm.
But it was great. You saw everybody there. Everybody's, you know, excited. This time of year, you're not going to have it any other way. And even though you had Zion's injury, guess what? We saw him out there. He was working with Teaspoon on his ball handling and such. And I'll tell you what, she's getting after it. Not only was she hounding Zion a little bit, then I noticed towards the end of practice, her hounding Kyra Lewis. And so, yeah, it's in full swing. Day one, done. But I'll tell you what, Willie Green said a lot of positives, says the Pelicans did well. They concentrated on defense today. It was like the first day of school, but a lot of guys were eagerly nervous.
Yeah.
And they took all the information in. And we'll see where we go from there.
Do you remember when you were in here, I think last in studio, I told you that I was going to have a suggestion for Willie Green on how you should open up training camp and practice here. And I said, you know, to grab summer league Pels and then look at the presumable five starters that are going to start the season and be like, you want to start, you got to knock them off the court. Do you know how thrilled I was to hear David Griffin say that to me yesterday, that that's what they did in Nashville, that he said he thought the summer league team kind of ran the first couple of days and were better. And Willie Green challenged him to make the other guys knock them off the court. I love setting that tone from the get-go.
Yeah, I remember clearly us talking about it that day. And, I heard that, those summer league guys, I mean, they beat up on the regulars, for about 3 days or something, like the first 3 days.
Yep.
And so, yeah, it's fantastic news. And guess what? Willie Green today kind of was asked a question regarding, you know, have you given any thought about your starting lineup rotations, et cetera. He says, you know what? He expects a strong battle, right, especially for the backcourt, obviously where Lonzo Ball and Eric Bledsoe departed, and says there's a lot of qualified guys. But the only clue he really gave us was he's going to be looking for who fits best with the rest of the starters. So you got to think, he's going to be looking for those floor spacers, defenders and floor spacers around mm-hmm. Zion and Brandon.
I loved hearing the second round pick. A second round pick has his own phrase running around the building, not on Herb. That's awesome, because apparently you're not scoring on Herb, as in Herbert Jones. I mean, to have that already be a moniker for you, it's pretty incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, he hasn't even played a single minute of regular
right.
season basketball. And yeah, you're right. There's already something attached to this guy because he excels at it. And for the Pelicans, it couldn't have been anything better than some guy that's going to be a lockdown defender. I mean, Gus, last 2 years during Zion, the short Zion era that we've had, we've seen opponents, especially wings, light up the Pelicans. And, you know, you need to have some kind of wing defenders that are going to be able to go out there and contain some of these guys. You're not going to stop LeBron, Giannis, but you got to slow him down a little bit because you can't let the Bogdanoviches and other guys like that score 40 on you. So it's good to see. And actually, it's great that they have a guy like Herb Jones. And I'll tell you what, I'm not going to write off Trey Murphy. I think he's going to be probably as potent as a defender, but he's going to be above average. He's got that, you know, that instinct, the desire, the length, everything too.
I was going to say his length really stood out to me when I saw him in person yesterday. I love his demeanor and everything too. We're going to get into a lot more of this next week, golly, when we actually have preseason games. But in the next minute here before I wrap up, again, I promised it was just a little quick hit for you, but I wanted to get your takes. What stood out to you? What when you sat there and you looked at it, describe the first practice. What kind of team are you seeing?
Well, the thing is, we didn't get in until after they had finished their session, unfortunately. Today wasn't one of those days where we got to catch, 5, 10, 15 minutes of their practice, the actual scrimmages and such. But, you know, just from talking to the guys, you can tell that they're really enjoying attaching themselves to everything Willie Green's saying. That, to me, is music to my ears. Because we heard it last year, right? They all didn't really like or care for the way, in the manner Stan Van Gundy was trying to teach them things, kind of be rigid, traditional. But there was none of that. When we walked in, the music was blaring. Everybody was smiling, having fun. And then Brandon Ingram followed up on what Willie Green said about being a good practice in the same manner. He just loves the energy. And that's what you need, right? In games last year, a problem was energy, being competitive nightly. I don't think that's going to be a problem with this group, and it's already showing.
Yeah, he stood out to me. We'll talk a little bit more about why BI, I think, may have a very interesting year. And I think it's a positive one, to be honest with you. So go find out Ollie's thoughts at the Bird Rights. And, of course, follow him on Twitter at OLEHKOSEL. That's Mr. Ollie Kosel. As always, appreciate your time. Look forward to talking next week about games.
Oh, isn't that great? Doesn't that just sound great?
It does.
I'm looking forward to it, buddy.
Yep, for sure, man. Love it. All I know is this, Maddie. October is the month. I love the month. Football's really kicked in. You got conference games in college football. You have the NBA starting off. I love the month of October, not to mention eventually cooler weather.
Yeah, and you can actually get excited about, you know, something potentially happening with the Pelicans this season. You know, he brought up Trey Murphy and, you know, his instinct, desire, and length.
Yeah.
Also reminds me of a player that the Saints drafted in the first round of the NFL draft this year, which was Peyton Turner, and then followed that up with Pete Werner, who had a, you know, heck of a game.
Okay, you said, I'm not going to say I made fun of you, but I was
you
like...
You made fun of me, you did.
I did. I was like, Pete Werner, he started last week, and you saw kind of that depth that they had at that position, and then Caden Ellis making some big plays, and again, making some big plays in special teams and added depth at that position there. So they got some pretty good play out there. As a matter of fact, you even saw... Langdon, right?
Landon Young.
Yes. Another draft pick. I think all the draft picks now have actually seen action.
Yeah. And I mean, one in particular that has entirely
other than Ian Book,
if you count him being a coach, you know, temporarily.
Well, yes, that's right.
Paulson Adebo is the steal of the draft to me, and it's not even close.
I said it, Maddie. You don't want to give me credit for it, but I